Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We give you a hearty welcome to today's broadcast. And, of course, the show is This the Church? And the host is Sister AJ. And yours truly is her sidekick. Well, we're in studio to talk about tithing and Creflo Dollar and the scam and the repentance and the so-called, I'm sorry, please forgive me, blah, 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 because that's all that is. That's just jive talk from a jive turkey. That's all that is. But that's just my opinion. And, of course, I'm going to bring on Sister AJ right now. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Looking forward to today's show because we're talking about Mr. Creflo, Mr. I Got a Big Grin on My Face Dollar,
Mr. Right.
I Repented, but I don't know what repentance means because I'm laughing all the way to the bank.
Right.
It's amazing the way this guy has repented. And instead of shedding a tear and instead of having a frown on his face, he's cracking up. and he's cracking jokes.
Yeah, he could at least took a page out of Jimmy Swaggart's book and at least pretend to be remorseful.
Right, but no such thing. No such thing. And there's a trend now. There's a trend of wolves in sheep's clothing saying that they're sorry. It started, if correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it started with Benny Hinn when he started to say that, you know, we shouldn't be asking for all of these different kinds of offerings a couple of years ago.
Right. Yeah, and, he did. And I think he's back to business as usual now, though.
Sure.
That repentance never lasts for long.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's amazing to me that people in the church are so gullible because think about this. Think about this. If you get a bank statement and the bank statement says we're overcharging you or your account has been deleted, a fee of $40 for a bounced check, and people get that statement, you know what they're doing. They're calling the bank and they're fighting the bank over those $40 or whatever the bounced check fee is. And this guy's ripped them off for 30 years, and they're cracking up and laughing at his jokes.
I know. It's like nobody, it doesn't seem like anybody is upset that they've been lied to. It's like, you know, the analogy of you go to your wife and tell her, honey, you know, for the last however long guys have been married, you say, well, I've been lying to you and cheating on y'all this time, but now I want to come clean. And then you've got that look like Creflo Dollar has. And then you say, I would apologize, but I'm not really going to because, you know, I learned a lot during this experience. What do you think is going to happen? You think she's going to stay with you?
No, she's not. No, she's not. And the kids will beat me up, too. The kids will let me have it, too, including the dog.
Right. She's not going to trust another thing you say.
No.
So why depend on the one that lied to you to finally decide to teach you the truth now? It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, what's amazing is that the only people he needs to con are his people because they're the ones that pay the bills, and he's conned them.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's conned them. And then he brought Bishop McClendon in, who is as greasy as Reverend Ike. And he's prophesying about how he's going to be in charge of regions and territories and blah, 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 blah. And God is
declaring
him
the apostle of grace.
Right. And I'm saying, boy, that guy must have gotten 50 grand for saying those lies.
You know it was definitely worth his while.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the bottom line is that McClendon is a false prophet and Creflo's a false teacher. That's all. But Creflo doesn't care about you or me or any of the other apologists on talk radio. He doesn't care because we don't butter his bread.
No. Nope.
We don't put salami and cheese in his sandwich. The people at his church do. And since he's conned them, he's happy. He's happy.
Yes, he's happy. It looks like it's working, judging from the response of the crowd so far during this sermon. I guess anybody that had a problem with it are already gone. Maybe that's
They're already gone. They were gone a long time ago. The people, and that's why he's also happy because he doesn't have to put up with people questioning him.
Right. Even though you listen to the sermon and he still teaches the ways he is always taught as in that he'll read part of the scripture or he'll read a couple of verses and doesn't really explain what's going on in the chapter or maybe the entire, you know how you're supposed to look at the Bible to understand context and all that stuff, but he never gives you the context.
Right. He never, and with Creflo, it's all about faces and Google, you know, doing the eyes like Birmingham Brown and cracking jokes, and that's what Creflo's all about.
Yep. Titillating their emotions.
Right, sure.
Getting them excited and shouting and carrying on. He'll do that, too.
Right. No, it's a joke. It's a joke. But, listen, the guy's making out big. You know, he's got his followers, and
yeah.
And that's all that matters to him. Just like T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes, look, all of these guys know that there's a revolving door syndrome, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every church, listen, in every church you have people that come in and stay for a little while and then they leave. And even if you have faithful followers, there may be a year that you tick them off and they're gone. And soon after they're gone, another group of people come in. Now, we're talking about these mega churches because in town, they're the biggest thing. They're the biggest
right.
thing in town. So they're always going to have their followers coming in through those. It's a never-ending group of people coming in through those doors. It's like it never ends how many crowds go into Madison Square Garden. It never
mm-hmm.
ends. Or Yankee Stadium or Shea Stadium or the Met Stadium. You know, these ministries are that big where 1,000 people can leave and 1,000 new people will show up. They've got that kind of reputation.
As P.T. Barnum has said, there's one born every minute. So I guess that's
right.
how these guys look at it. Yes, some people will leave, but they're always here to people to replace them. Plus, he's got the ones there that are just gullible that will believe
mm-hmm.
everything he says.
Right. That's it. So, well, I got the audio set up. Just let me know when you want to start or what, you know, what.
Right.
Ready?
Well, we're gonna pick up with the sermon where we left off. And we left off at 1 hour and 3 minutes last week.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me put it back to, if that's okay with you, let me put it back to 57 minutes, just so that
okay.
I always like to pick up the thread. And
right.
Okay. Here we go, see. And if you hear any noise today, it's because my wife and my girls...
Mm-hmm.
They're out at Great Adventure, or what in this area would be Great Adventure. So I got the mutt with me in the studio. So if the mailman rings the doorbell or something and you hear a dog barking, you know who it is.
Okay. All right.
It's Benjamin Torres playing the fool.
okay.
I've taken him out 20 times today, and 20 times he hasn't done his business because he sees the cat, and he focuses on the cat. And so, all right. Here's the audio.
Hello, Benjamin.
What is that, boy?
Not much better. Sure good to see a new face around here.
Yeah, but this face ain't staying.
Neither is mine.
Yeah.
Birmingham, you're always late, even coming to see me. Don't you ever do anything on time?
Sure, I bought a car once.
How?
On time. You know what made me late, Benjamin?
What?
I had to take my girl over
to... No beauty shop can help her.
No.
Why, no. Why, she got a face that...
Not that bad. The lady at the beauty parlor said that she was going
they
to...
They can't recap them wrinkles.
No?
No. Now, what they should do is...
They did. And while we was over there, do you know what...
I know, I know. Now, look, is that the same gal...
No, she don't weigh that much now.
No?
No, all she weighs now is...
That's still too heavy. Why don't you get her to go on the same diet my gal used? Get her to take two...
Oh, they don't make that stuff anymore.
No?
No, now, what I want to give her is...
That'll give her hay fever.
Yeah?
Why, sure. Listen, in that case, why don't you take her over
to... I did. And you know who I saw over there?
Who?
I saw old...
Is he still out there?
Yeah.
I thought he was...
He was, but he got out.
Is that so?
Yeah. He's staying over with Mr...
Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
They must be charging
No, him. Not that much.
No?
No, all he's paying is...
That's a fair price.
Yeah.
Yeah. But look...
That was a little clip of Birmingham Brown. Here's another one. Here's another
okay.
one. He's famous.
So we're going to have company for dinner.
Company? You mean there's a new one?
The Irishman from the stairs.
Do declare.
There'd be us having a white zombie for dinner.
I mean, this is too funny. What I'll do is I'll send you some clips. But
okay.
Here's Creflo.
All right.
Oh, yeah, Birmingham Brown is just too funny.
And they said, so you have a Rolls Royce? And I said, yes, but I'm giving it and selling it and giving the money to the children's ministry. And I thought that was satisfying. And guess who talked to me immediately after the interview? God. He said, I gave that to you because I wanted to bless you. And you let people, Bundes, cause you to give away what I blessed you with? I felt so bad. I called my son. I said, listen, go find that Rolls Royce. He said, how? I said, go find it. I don't care what you got to do. Go around the nation and every state you got to. But you find that Rolls Royce. That was God's love that he was trying to show on me. And I let people, Bundes, help me out. And that was the year I got free from people, free from color folks, free from church folks. I got free from white folks. I got free from everybody, praise God. Hallelujah!
Yeah, but you didn't get free from Satan.
Nope. And he's talking about in that clip where he's flipped it now from to saying that giving and under grace is about showing how much you trust God and how he'll bless you. And he's telling a story about how somebody gave him a Rolls Royce and he didn't accept it. And then God told him, rebuked him for not accepting it. So that's what he's talking about.
Right. And he could have taken that Rolls Royce and given it to that little old lady that we saw taking the bus.
That he sure could have.
Right, because think about it. What the Lord could have said to him, hey, Creflo, you gave away that Rolls Royce to that organization. Why not give it to my daughter who goes to your church and takes the bus? He didn't hear that from God.
Exactly. And I could see the Lord being more pleased with him doing that than
right.
Than giving it to some organization or keeping it for himself even.
Absolutely. Because I know if he gave it to an organization, he's getting a tax write-off, right?
That's right.
I mean, he's not giving it away for nothing. We can't go down that rabbit trail.
No.
So this guy is a con man, and like you said, now he's trying to push, wait a minute. If you give by grace, notice he says you give more and you get
mm-hmm.
more back. It's still the same con game.
Exactly.
And nothing's changed.
He's just not calling it tithing anymore. And he's
right.
not, in a way, he's not saying you have to do it, but when you tell a Christian, someone who really loves the Lord, born again, all that, and wants to please him, you tell them God says to do, or you say pray and ask God what you should give, that's like saying you have to do it because you want to please God, right?
Right.
It's putting a burden, I won't say a burden, but it's making it seem like you it's pressure. I'll put it that way, pressure on a person when you say God said or ask God what you should do. Well,
right,
what if God says, God could say, don't give them nothing.
Yeah, and here's the amazing thing. Here's the amazing thing. The same God who told him about the Rolls Royce should have been the same God who told him, hey, Creflo, stop teaching this tithing error.
Mm-hmm. Or better yet, don't start it.
Right. So, well, at some point he started it on his own, and God should have said,
mm-hmm.
should have stopped him, right? And
right.
said, you know, don't do it. Or no, but now he gets the revelation. After 30 years of scamming, now he got the revelation that tithing is not for today. But then he turns around and says, but you know what? Grace is, and when you're under grace, you give more than 10%. So he's making it like a double bandit.
Right. But they always kind of taught that. They would teach the tithing mandate first, and then they would use the New Testament to teach giving above and beyond the tithe if you really
right.
want to be blessed. So it's not – I don't see where it's changed much other than they just dropped the tithing part of it.
Right. But he's going to get his, and he's going to get more than that.
Right.
He's going to get more.
Exactly.
And it's amazing how God has given him a Rolls Royce and nobody else.
Nope.
I mean, so.
Right.
And God wants to show me his, God wanted to show me his love. No, if God wanted to show you his love, he would have spanked you. He would have whooped
exactly.
you behind. Because you're a liar and you're a thief. But since you don't belong
to
the Lord.
As you know, even some, there are some people out there that even when they get whipped, they still don't change. They just hard and stubborn. I mean, I don't know if you've heard of kids like that or, you know, maybe been one yourself at one time. It didn't matter what kind of punishment. You were just going to do what you wanted to do.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Here's more. Hallelujah! My God wants to bless you. I'm sorry you don't want to receive it. I apologize that you hate the prosperity gospel, but that's still not going to stop his abounding provision. He's going to keep increasing his provision on you. He's going to keep blessing you. He's going to keep turning things around for you. He's going to keep increasing you. He's going to keep healing you because he's just. We heard that 30 years ago. We, under tithing,
yeah.
we
yeah.
heard the same thing.
So he's not repenting of the prosperity gospel in its entirety.
Sure.
Because that's just as insidious as what they would do into make people give them money, because prosperity gospel gives you the wrong idea about Jesus and what even the atonement was about. For them, everything is about material blessings primarily and physical health.
Absolutely.
They gloss over the spiritual part.
Right. Because he just mentioned now that God wants to give you prosperity and God wants to give you your healing. No, healing comes through the atonement, not by giving.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? That's how healing comes. It comes through the atonement. By his stripes, we are healed. Whether you're talking about
mm-hmm.
spiritual healing or physical healing, it comes through the atonement, not by tithing.
Right.
Not by
or
that.
Or even grace giving like he's calling it now.
Right.
can't help it, he gonna do it anyway. I dare you to give him a shout. Give him a shout in here, somebody. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
People were shouting right to the point where they were drinking, where Jim Jones was giving them the Kool-Aid. They were shouting up to that point.
Yeah, some people sure were. They went willingly to that trough of poison Kool-Aid.
Right. So shouting don't mean nothing. In fact, shouting ought to scare you, because it's when your mind gets preoccupied on emotion rather than on what's being said.
Right, and I think even though you've talked about how COVID has shown a lot of these pastors that they don't have to have these physical buildings, I think some of them still want that because of the control and influence you can have, and the group think where ordinary at home, the person can tune out, they can go do other things, and they may not be as engaged, but in the building, it's that atmosphere can be very influential, and a person might do things they wouldn't normally do in a group setting. So I think that's why they still want the building.
Absolutely, they still want the building. Now, of course, some people can't carry a building because, like
right.
I said before, they don't see when you're a storefront bishop. Right, when you're a storefront and you're down in
mm-hmm.
Brooklyn, New York, and your storefront is costing you $4,000 a month,
right?
You realize you can't keep it up. Not with the 20 souls coming into your church. You're a storefront, right? And you don't own the building. You're renting the building, and that's why it's costing you $4,000 a month. And then next year, the landlord is going to up it to $5,000 a month. And if you don't want to pay that, well, guess what? There are people chomping at the bit to get into that building because real estate is at a premium.
Right.
Right? So someone else is going to pay that money. Now you won't, and he'll kick you out in the street with your microphone and your pulpit and your pews. He'll take all your rubbish and put it out on the corner. He don't care. So there's some preachers who can't keep up the hustle because the cost. But when you talk about somebody like Creflo or somebody like Joe Osteen or T.D. Jakes, they can still keep up the hustle because they're the first generation prophet. Now,
mm-hmm.
where things may get hairy is when their child takes over. That's where things
right.
may get hairy, right? Because look at T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes' daughter, Cora, the one that you and I thought had the most talent. Because
mm-hmm.
Cora's the one that had the most talent, right?
Well, right,
she's scandal-ridden. She's got
yeah.
all these scandals about adoptive babies and all, and husband molesting. She's scandal-ridden. The other
right.
one, the one that thinks she's a supermodel, she's just got nothing in the cabeza. She's got nothing in her head. In between her two
right.
ears, she's got nothing, right? His other son is the makeup artist. He's the queer guy, right? I mean, he's the one, you know,
right.
putting
he's,
the makeup
and he's
on.
He's got a criminal record because,
right,
you know,
right,
he had
right.
a run-in with the police.
Right. So there are some people whose children won't be able to carry the thing. They just won't be able
yeah.
to. And that's where the big building will be up for sale. See, it's just, or some kids, you take Matt Crouch, who isn't even, who based on good information, he's not even the real son of Paul Crouch Sr., right?
Right.
He inherited the ministry. There was a big fight between Paul Crouch Jr. and him and infighting and lawsuits and, worker
right.
at TBN molesting Paul Crouch Jr.'s daughter and lawsuit and a big mess over there. Okay, so Grandpa gave it to Matt, who isn't even his son. Now, Matt doesn't run that thing the way his daddy did. He doesn't run it. In fact, he hardly ever shows up. There's so much money in the vault that Matt doesn't have to do anything. In fact, Matt's right. been selling off properties.
He sure has. He's streamlined it considerably, all those studios and properties, and just he's gotten rid of a lot of that.
Exactly, because he wasn't going to kill himself. He just wants to live large.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, if it was Paul Jr., then I would say they would still have all those problems because they have it's two different brothers with two different mindsets.
Right.
So you got some people who are going to take the money and just enjoy life, and then you got some people who can't do what their daddy did or their mother did, and just, you know, they don't want to do it, so
yeah.
they live off the proceeds, they live off the book sales, they, you know. But for these guys that have these mega buildings, think about how much it would cost to put a roof on T.D. Jakes' Potter House.
Oh, I don't know, because it could be thousands just putting one on your house, depending on
right.
how big your house is.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's got to be up to code. It's got to be, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to give you a certificate of occupancy. Remember, we're talking about churches. We're not talking about
right.
you putting an add-on to your house and you live in the boondocks where they don't even have, you know, certificates of occupancy for the little shed that you're building with a wood stove. We're not talking about
mm-hmm.
that. We're talking about where people are coming in and there's got to be fire exits and there's got to, you know,
yes.
you know, it's major stuff, right?
You've got all these insurance requirements and safety codes you have to live up to or adhere
right.
to. So, yeah.
Yeah. So there are people who will do it, and they're good at doing it and keeping it. There's some other people who just can't. They don't have what it takes. So it goes on a case by case basis, right? It's case
yeah.
by case. You look at the guy in California who gave the church. Well, he didn't give the church, but he handed over the church property and the membership to John Gray. What was that guy's name over there in California?
Oh, I
guy?
Know who you talk about, but I can't think of his name right now.
Right, right,
but
right.
I thought they were fighting to get that church back or something. But
well, that's
yeah,
because
I know who you're talking about.
That's because John Gray has defaulted on the loan.
Yeah.
Now that church, that plant, let's call it a plantation. That plantation came with slaves already.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a big house and empty. No. That came with people already picking the cotton. And John Gray couldn't keep it up.
He sure couldn't.
Right? Oh, Ron Carpenter, right? Ron Carpenter's his name, right?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Right, right, right. So Ron Carpenter said to him, "Hey, I'm going to L.A. I'm going to sell you the church building, and I'm going to leave you with the members, and this is the asking price, and they sign on the dotted line, and this is what we're going." And John Gray basically messed that whole thing up. He basically, I mean, right? That was a great head start. And that was just show up on Sunday and just preach. But he blew it to the point now where you have a false prophet fighting another false prophet and lying and fighting in court and getting lawyers and,
mm-hmm.
you know. The same thing with Jamal Bryant. Jamal Bryant can't resurrect that mess that Eddie Long has over there.
No, he
nobody
can't.
Nobody can resurrect that mess. Nobody can. So it goes on a case-by-case situation, but Creflo really, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think Creflo's had a scandal. Right? Creflo has had no other than one time being arrested for disciplining.
For hitting his daughter or something. That
right,
was it.
Right. Right. Which, listen, in a family dynamic, you got some crazy teenagers and I got four. Sometimes, you know, my wife will turn into Godzilla stomping on Tokyo and I got to jump in the middle. Right? And, you know,
yes.
And so,
yes.
You know, that can happen to any, in a family dynamic, that can happen to anybody. A dad correcting a child or whatever, and, you know. So I'll give them a pass on that. Not that I'm condoning child abuse. I'm not condoning that. But I'm just saying,
mm-hmm.
These kids today already know that they can call 911 because
yes.
They've already been schooled, that they can call 911 and have the police take daddy or mommy off in handcuffs. I've seen it so many times, right?
And they'll push the parent to the limit on that one, on it too.
Absolutely.
Because they've got that ace in their pocket.
Correct. So I'll give Creflo a pass on that one because the daughter's still home.
There's been no women. There's been nothing with women or men or, you know, no sexual things. And
right. Other than self-inflicted
I guess he's
wounds,
probably. Yeah, I guess he's probably pretty close to legal with the money stuff. You know,
right.
He's not a crook in that way.
Correct. So he's pretty much, other than a self-inflicted wound, like when he said, I want a $65 million plane,
yes.
Which was self-inflicted, he's basically scandal-free.
Right.
And look at how empty his place is.
Yeah. And that sermon is not from a Wednesday night. This is a Sunday service.
Now, the other thing is, when was this recorded?
Last month, the end of July.
So it's summer. Okay, we got to give,
or
you know,
the
place
June,
maybe.
Or the end of June, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think it was late June, early July or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hold on 1 minute. I got to open the window. This dog is
okay.
Hold on. Benji, you better stop that. If you hear some outside noise, I can't help it. He's passing gas. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a dog, too.
Okay. All right. Okay, here's more from Creflo.
God is not going to let some sinner outlive you, and you depend on him. But he couldn't do it because you were under law. Or you were missing law with grace, and it was holding back what he wanted to do. The motive can't ever be more stuff. The motive can't be, well, I'm going to do this so God can bless me. It ain't going to happen. The motive has...
But that's what they were teaching.
Right. And he's teaching it now. You know, he's talking about all this blessing, but then saying God won't bless you if you just give in to get. I mean, I'm a bit confused.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So like you said, he's still teaching a give-to-get gospel, which is what he's teaching.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing he's done is he's removed the word tithe and he's put grace, but it's still a give-to-get gospel.
Right, and I would be willing to bet that he's still accepting those automatic transfers out of people's bank accounts, too. Has he stopped doing that?
I doubt it. I doubt it.
Me, too.
Yeah, okay.
Got to be. I depend on you. I lift my hands to you like Abraham. And I will give.
No, you can't do that. Because that's a tithing verse.
Mm-hmm.
right? He says, I'm going to lift my hands up like Abraham did. Well, in that passage, that's Genesis 14.
Right.
That's when he gave the so you see how he's mixing grace with law?
Yeah.
Because when you ask the Jews, when you say the law is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those are the five books of Moses. That's called the law. The prophets, see, when they say the law and the prophets, the law is the five books of Moses. Prophets begins with Joshua. So when he says, I lift up my hands to heaven like Abraham did, but you just mix law and grace.
Right.
You just went back to the law. Let's play that little clip again. It's a little clip.
Okay.
And you depend on him. But he couldn't do it because you were under law. Or you were mixing law with grace.
Yeah, that he says he couldn't bless you because you were mixing law with grace. But watch what he says next.
Okay.
And it was holding back what he wanted to do. The motive can't ever be most stuff. The motive can't be, well, I'm going to do this so God can bless me. It ain't going to happen. The motive has got to be, I depend on you. I lift my hands to you like Abraham. And I will give any way you tell me to give. Because I have no fear that you are the God that knows how to take care of me. You gave me your son. And you told me I'd give you everything else you want. But I trust God. I depend on him. I don't depend on no money. There's a lot of things money can't do for you. I depend on him. What you gonna do when money can't buy a cure because they ain't got one? What you gonna do when money buy a house but can't turn it into a home? What you gonna do when money can buy you a woman but can't buy you somebody that'll love you all your life? No. You know what the love of money is? Is when you trust money more than you trust God. The love of money is the root. You know what he's saying? Your dependency and trust on money is the root to all of the evil that you'll see in your life. And some people trust money more than they trust God until they turn that money into their God, and now they've committed idolatry because they value money more than they value God. What you'll do for money, you just can't seem to do for God. You'll be on time for the job to get the money, but you can't be on time for church. You will spend time studying to get more money, but you won't spend time praying and letting God speak to you.
No, I'm not on time to church because the bus driver is late.
Right. The bus is behind schedule.
Right. The buses in Atlanta can't keep schedule. That's why I'm late.
Right.
But if I had a Rolls Royce, I'd be in church on time.
The first bus, or I was running a little late and I missed the bus I was supposed to catch because, you know, so, yeah. But I wanted to go back to what you said in Genesis 14, and he keeps saying Abraham said he raised his hand to God, but he was talking about something specific when Abraham said that. He was talking to the king of Sodom when he had went to fight against the other kings to get Lot
right.
back out of captivity, and he sent everything back to the king of Sodom, and the king then he says if I may, in chapter 14, verse 21, now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons, and you take the goods for yourself. 22, but Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. So he was he did that because, no, I promised the Lord that I wouldn't take anything of yours. So Creflo, like we were saying, doesn't even explain what's actually happening in those verses, you know. So, you know, that's, I wanted to go back and say that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And look, the bottom line is this. The bottom line is the video is entitled The Great Misunderstanding. And the only one who's had a misunderstanding for 30 years was Creflo. Because what he's teaching ain't new to us. We've been saying this. It was his misunderstanding, not ours. He was the one teaching falsehood all this time. We knew what the scripture says. So if he's got to preach, he's got to preach to, shut off that video machine and just preach to yourself.
And
don't
calling
preach to
it
us.
A misunderstanding is kind of is misleading and a misnomer, because he didn't misunderstand anything. I think the deception all those years was deliberate.
Absolutely. Listen, that's a given. We know that for sure. But you know, in his goal to con these people again, because he cons them every week, he calls it the big misunderstanding. But there ain't no misunderstanding. Like you said, this is a game he is playing with these poor gullible people, and he's going to clean them out again. That's what he's going to do. He's going to take them to the cleaners yet again. So, all right, here's more. I'm having a little technical difficulty here. Let me just go back here. Come on. All right, where are we here? Sorry about this, Saints. We should be there in a second. Let's go. Okay.
And now they've committed idolatry because they value money more. I go before God, what would you have me to give? I want to worship you, Lord. I depend on you, Lord. I trust you. I need you. And giving now becomes just as much a part of my worship as my song singing, as my dancing, as my lifting my hands. I get to give, not got to. I get to give. Now, for some reason, if you're cool with starting off at 10%, that's saying it ain't no crime.
Wow. Notice the starting off point. He says starting off.
Yep. Yes. He sure did.
If you're starting off, in other words, you can give 50 if you want to.
Yes.
But you're starting, if you want to make your starting point off 10%. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But you can't make it
mandatorily the law for New Testament Christians to give 10%. That's all I'm saying. New Testament is clear about giving, but not by a law that says either you tithe or you're going to be cursed. You know that ain't God no more. That was, and that's what Jesus lived under. That's what he fulfilled. And you know I'm going to get letters. I ain't reading none of them. I don't read letters no more.
First of all, he gets letters, but he has a service that doesn't, he doesn't open any letters. They all go to a center where the letters go in and they open them up for the cash or the checks.
And then they throw the letters in the trash.
Remember
that whole thing with Robert Tilton, and they found out that's what he was doing?
And they all did the same thing. They all did the same thing. All of them. Every single one did the same thing. Nobody, none of those preachers read those letters. They don't listen. If Taffy gave him a card, he wouldn't be interested in. Listen, when I give my kids a card for their birthday, you think they read the card? Mm-mm. What's in here? Is it $50? Is it what? Right? And as soon as they see the money, they put the card aside. I said, did you read the card? Did you read what Daddy had to say? I'll read it later. And they go to the next card to see what's in that one.
Yeah.
And those are kids. So, please.
If it costs me my peace, it's too expensive. I ain't spending my peace on nobody's drama or nobody's emergency. People call me, tell me I got an emergency. I don't do emergencies. Because if I'm going to live long and stay on this earth, I got to learn how to be a man of ease and a man of peace. I can't take all that drama and stuff like I used to. I ain't doing that.
So in other words, give me more money and you're going to get less service.
Right. He's not a real pastor then.
Because
isn't that part of it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to take the drama. You got to be about the drama. I get drama every single day, 3 times a day. I get all kinds of drama. I mean, it's part of the job.
And I got
12 members. And I got 12 members.
You know, that's part of being a shepherd, you know. You know, Jesus is the good shepherd, and I'm sure that he dealt with drama during his earthly ministry to some degree, especially coming from without.
Right. Absolutely. So he's just telling you, send me the money and expect less work.
Yep.
It's crazy.
You know, I ain't still 30. I may look like it sometimes. Sometimes I look 79. I just want you to be free and finally choose Jesus.
You ain't free as long as you're on the plantation.
Nope. Not at all. That's not freedom.
No, you're free when you get to walk away and never come back. That's when you're free.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Tubman did, right? Tubman made 30 trips.
Yep.
Taking people north. That's when they're free.
People can walk off the plantation, but they just don't because you're trapped in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
He loves you. He cares for you. You know how much it takes for me to get up here and correct my teaching?
Not all pastors will do that. Not all preachers will do that. They're not going to do that. They're going to make you think it was all right. We'll just be quiet. Shh, don't nobody say nothing. But I'm correcting my teaching and others' teachings. It'll go around the world before tomorrow night. Yeah, I love y'all too, man. I don't want to be nowhere for it. Listen, if God told me I had to go to another church to preach, I might quit for a minute, you know. Bow your heads. My time's all on. We'll pick up with this. If y'all come back next week, we'll pick up with this. Lord, we get it. Melchizedek showed up before Abraham, unexpected. Nobody knew he was coming. But by your grace, you sent a priest with the bread and the wine in his hands. He showed up right after the victory that was given that no way he in the world Abram could have won. Then he sat down and he blessed Abraham with an understanding of who God was, the possessor of heaven and earth. And Abram responded that I am going to give to my God as a response to his ability to take care of me. Help us to get that revelation that our giving is responding to you being the possessor of heaven and earth, you being the provider, you being the one that can take care of us in any arena of our lives.
See, instead of focusing on God saving us and God redeeming us and God being our Father, basically what he's saying is, God's your ATM.
Yes.
God is
your
sugar daddy.
In a bottle.
Right. That's what he is.
Which means the God of the prosperity gospel, Creflo's basically teaching the same things about it, about that God.
Same thing. Same thing. It's the same lie. It's the same lie. You know, look. It's like Aunt Jemima, a pancake mix. They changed the name, but it's still Aunt Jemima.
Right. You open the box, it's still the same mix in there.
It's still the same mix. That's all it is. It's still Aunt Jemima.
Mm-hmm.
It's still tithing. It's still getting to your money. It's still having access to your bank account. Nothing's changed.
Nope.
It's the same God that he's been preaching, and he's the same wolf preaching it. Nothing's changed.
This is just rebranding and repackaging.
That's all it is. That's all it is. That's all it is. And I guess he wanted to be the first one among the prosperity preachers to jump off the Titanic, the tithing Titanic, and get on the giving grace ship. But
right.
The bottom line is still going to be, to get on that cruise liner, you're going to have to pay.
That's right.
It.
Yep.
You're going to have, you're going to, no
it's
one.
It's still about the Benjamins.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
Now, Holy Spirit, I trust you to teach this into our souls and into our spirits. Let our tradition not rob us from the word.
It's not our tradition. It was your false teaching. He keeps saying our. Like
yes, and you
when they,
and
when,
they
when,
and...
Right.
You know, not saying him.
It's like when Kenneth Copeland says, this is our plane. No, this ain't our plane. It's your plane. This ain't our.
We won't be able to use it if we need to.
Right. Sure. Crazy. But he got over. He got over.
Yes. And he's teaching a whole series is on this on Sundays and Wednesdays, because this is a great misunderstanding part one. So there's a part two, and then there's other stuff that he's teaching about it. So this is a series which he's been doing this off and on for a while anyway. Like 2015 is when I started noticing changed up, but that was probably in response to people teaching against it and writing books about it, tithing and all that stuff. So he was kind of ahead of the curve in trying to get in front of this and change up a little bit.
Correct. Correct.
Open the ears of the people of God, that they may hear your wisdom and we may worship you in the beauty of your holiness. Help me, Lord, to continue to grow. Help me to articulate stuff and say stuff like you want me to say, and give.
Lord, help me to articulate stuff and say stuff the way you want me to say it. I mean, the Lord ain't in none of this.
No, because the Lord, our Lord, the Lord of the Bible, would be telling him to sit down somewhere and shut up.
Right.
You are a false teacher and not fit to be a pastor.
And give that money back that you've taken for the last 30 years.
Right, and Creflo can afford to say throw away all the books and teaching series because he's got a whole bunch of brand new ones out now that you can buy. So
right,
and
you can throw it away because he got the money.
Right, don't matter.
He
already
got your
paid
money
for it.
Right, so you can throw it away. Absolutely, he already got your money.
All sweet lips so we can see learning increase. May the blessings of God begin to run the world, change over, until he just can't help but give it away because he ain't got no more room to receive. Not just stuff, but character and love and those things that you lead us to do to treat people right. We give you praise for it now. Now, if you're in this place and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or if you're on the stream, I want you to say this simple prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner, but right now I repent of all of my sins. I receive the free gift of forgiveness. I make you my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I receive you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. He is worthy of it. He's worthy of it. If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with me, text the key word unsaved.
That, I'm pretty sure that video is pretty much done, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. All right. Wow.
Yeah.
What a scam artist.
I mean, we may be witnessing what it's like to see a seared conscience in action. Someone who isn't necessarily a serial killer or something, but he's pretty cold because, you know, it's like he's playing with God by saying he repents and he's sorry for how he taught this, but he's not. In fact, he confirmed that pretty much in the first couple minutes of the video.
Absolutely. He's
when
not
he
listening.
Said, I'm not going to apologize.
And he's laughing. He's laughing throughout. Again, you know, you look at a person who stands, you know, has been convicted of murder or whatever, And the judge says, do you have anything to say? And he'll get the criminal will get up to the convicted person whom the jury found guilty will get up there and say, I want to apologize to the families. I know they will. I know that I can never bring their loved ones back. But at least you see a little remorse.
Mm-hmm.
And then the judge says, okay, mandatory sentence, 50 years in, for, you know, with life. Because, you know, the judge ain't going to let you slide. But
right.
but at least you see some remorse. This guy is
mm-hmm.
laughing. I mean, I have the benefit of watching the video, and he's laughing. He's got a smirk on his face.
Yes. Yes,
right?
He does. It's like, yeah, I got. Because if you think about even some of the preachers we've looked at, you remember Al Flukow with the resurrection scam? And
right.
and when he got up there to explain it away and pretend that he didn't actually try to say the guy was resurrected, he
mm-hmm.
once he had the audience and they're flipping around and cheering and running and carrying on, he had that
mm-hmm.
same look, didn't he?
Right. Absolutely. 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 No, this is a scam. This is a scam, and those of us on the outside looking in know it's a scam. But those poor people, they're saying the prayer of faith. They're praying. They're asking Jesus for forgiveness. Wait a minute,
right.
You got scammed. You got robbed.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything other than you were gullible.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy.
And sometimes that happens. I mean, but is it that people don't want to admit that they've been fooled?
Yeah, but you see, look, I get it that some people are embarrassed and, you know, they'll never say, you know, look, there's some people, I've known some men and I've known some women that went to the wrong place and they got raped, right?
Mm.
Now, they don't tell their family members they got raped. They came to me, right? Okay, now, having been raped, having been abused, they no longer go to that club, or they no longer go back to the place where they got. They'll never go back. Now
right.
they may not. They may, out of public embarrassment, they may not want to say what happened to them. They may say it to a preacher in confidence, in great secrecy, and in, you know, and but then you can actually see that they learned their lesson because they ain't going back to the place where they got raped because they know they're going to get raped again. So
right.
you may be embarrassed that Creflo robbed you for 30 years, but don't go back there. Learn your lesson. Right? Just don't go back. Now, you don't have to
right.
admit that you gave him tens of thousands of dollars. That's between you and God, and you're upset about it, and you're mad, and he took you for a sucker, and, you know, you feel violated and all that. But don't go back. Don't sit there and applaud and say the sinner's prayer like if you're the sinner. He is the sinner,
mm-hmm.
right? But that's, again, that's mind control. You know, that's what these guys do.
Yeah.
You know, how many women have...
And I think Creflo actually does have an educational background in psychology, too. So he knows how this stuff works.
Absolutely. And look, he knows the people he's duped. He knows them. He knows what he can say and what he can't say. When you watch Creflo's 30-year history... And you see all the shenanigans that he's been pulling. I mean, the last shenanigan was I want a $65 million jet.
Mm-hmm.
That was his last shenanigan. I mean, he pushed the envelope. There he pushed the envelope.
He got it, though.
And he got it, right? So he
mm-hmm.
knows already what he can get out of those people. He knows. And the ones that left, he don't care why, because he got their money already. He got their
right.
money. He don't care. Okay, you're not coming back. That's all right. I got 30 years of your money.
That's
so
right.
That's how these guys, that's how they live. That's how they violate people. They're ravenous. They're never satisfied. Never. Jesus said of them in Matthew 23, they devour widows' estates. Here you are a widow. Your husband left you a life insurance. Like this preacher, right? This guy who got, this so-called bishop who got robbed. The lady suing him because her husband left her a little bit of money. And what did that preacher do? He devoured that money. He made that money disappear. It's gone.
Yes, he did.
Right? That's what these people do. That's what they do. I had a good friend. He was a deacon in the church, and he died of AIDS. And that's because he was a intravenous drug user, but he was a deacon in the church, and he was saved 20 years, clean 20 years. But, you know, AIDS caught up with him, right? I mean, eventually he succumbed to AIDS. When he died, the pastor and one of the deacons showed up at his wife's house. And she called me. She says, hey, they're in the living room, and I'm calling you from the bathroom. And they're here for a tithe on the life insurance. I said to her, you tell them I said, they're not getting a penny.
Right.
She called me from the bathroom. The bishop is
here.
Well,
I'm glad she called you.
Right. They wanted to know how much life insurance he had on him so that they would know what the tithe is. The dude just died. He had just died. They don't care. That's how cold-blooded they are. Ding dong, you think that they would be comforting you and saying the church is here for you. What can we do for you in your hour of distress? No. What was the life insurance policy? How much? What's our cut? What's our cut? That's wickedness. See?
Yes.
That's great wickedness. And they don't care. They don't care. So, all right.
Next few clips here are going to be some reactions, because you know the pimps in Pimpville were fit to be tied when they heard about this message. So we're going to listen to reactions from a few of them. Now, this first clip isn't necessarily another preacher, but it's somebody that used to go to Creflo's church and considers himself a spiritual son, and he seems to feel that Creflo isn't being completely honest in this sermon. And this is a minute or so clip, audio number two. So whenever you're ready for that.
Here it is.
All right, so check it, man. I have seen a lot of people posting about Pastor Creflo Dollar, my spiritual father, and his decision to, you know, say that tithing was now, you know, not scriptural for the New Testament believer. I get that. I actually sat and watched the video, just finished watching it, and this is to my pastor, my spiritual father. I just thought the video was just not reflective of the apology in the beginning. That, yeah, you apologized in the beginning, but Dad, you didn't take ownership throughout the message. It was what the churches did and what they said, and they said this and they said, no, you said these things. You said, will a man rob God? You made us feel ashamed and guilty for that. You made us feel ashamed and fearful that if we didn't tithe, we were going to be cursed. You made us feel like that. You fired members who worked for you because they didn't tithe. You did those things. You had other church members looking at those who didn't tithe with side eyes. You said the church wasn't going to be Ichabod. No, we were going to have, you know, tithers in our midst. We weren't going to have no non-tithers in our midst. You did these things for years. You said God built the church. No, and I get it. Yeah, God built the ministry, but he built it off of our tithes and offerings. We tithed and offered to that ministry for years. And to minister that in an off-putting way like you did was just hurtful. People left the church. People felt hurt by this message. And I know you've evolved, but you got to take ownership, Dad. Where's the ownership? And in that message, you took no ownership. It was them that did it. It was all them. No, you did it. You said these things. This was your brand. Come on, man. I hope this reaches you. You got to do better in another one. You got to give us something else. We need a real, true apology. Because that message, it just wasn't it. I'm sorry. Love y'all, man. Do good, be good, because God made you good. Peace.
And that's what we've been saying all along. That's what you and I have been saying. That's no apology. Mm-hmm. That's
right.
I mean, we've been saying it. He said, and the church, no, dude, the world changes churches, you. You control
that's
that
right.
pulpit. You've been there every Sunday for the past 30 years, and if you weren't there, you put a stooge that would say exactly what you wanted said.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, it is what it is.
I thought it was interesting coming from one of his own members, but I'm cringing every time he refers to Creflo as dad, though.
Right. Well, he's off the plantation, but he's writing love letters from New York. You know, Harriet Tubman got him way north, but he's still writing love letters to dad down in the South. And but at least, you know, the guy was discerning to a point, right?
And he does say that some people did leave and were hurt by this message, or they thought the apology didn't go far enough. So at least, so I'm glad to hear there were some people in there that didn't fall for this okey-doke.
Right. Yeah, because again, you take the Housewives of Atlanta, okay, which I've only seen commercials of. I've only seen commercials of the Housewives of Atlanta. But they're all divas. They're all divas.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Or they think
okay.
they are anyway.
Right. So go to one of those women and tell them, you know, I've been fooling around with your sister, but I'm sorry. What do you think is going to happen?
He's going to scratch your eyes out.
There you go. They're not buying that the same way nobody's buying this apology. Nobody's buying this apology. Lord, help me do better. Lord, give me the right words. Stop lying. The Lord ain't with you.
Nope.
The Lord ain't with you. You're a con man.
This isn't godly sorrow that the Lord looks for, that works repentance.
And look what the guy says. Look at all of the abuse that went on in that church for one reason, tithing.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of abuse there.
Yeah,
that's why he's lucky nobody sued him yet. He's very lucky. Very lucky.
Yeah.
If he terminated people because they didn't tithe, and now he's apologizing because we're on the grace, guess what, dude? I want back pay with interest. I'm taking you to the cleaners.
Punitive damages.
There you go. For the hell you put me through, for the church brothers and sisters that I lost, because at least, you know, if he doesn't want to go to trial, at least you could get a settlement check. you can get something back.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Because he's gonna want to settle out of court. He's going to want to settle out of court, especially if you can prove you were there and you worked for him and you got fired because you didn't tithe. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That's against labor laws. That's against labor. No, listen, no employer. You know, our church has 12 members, right? Our church, our little church, has 12
mm-hmm.
members. And if you go into the church kitchen, there's a laminated poster board that we received from New York State telling us labor laws.
Right.
And we ain't got one employee. We ain't got one. Whether you're a nonprofit or not, there are labor laws. There's things you cannot do. You just can't do.
Even whether they were salaried employees or volunteers.
You can't. There's things you can't do. I'll give you an example. You cannot not pay people's taxes. You know, if you take money out of people's checks and not send that to the IRS, you can't do that. Well, we're a nonprofit. No, it doesn't apply there.
Mm-hmm.
It applies if you go to Staples and buy a ream of paper, then you can show your nonprofit certificate, and they won't charge you the $3 in taxes for a ream of paper.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you don't pay people's taxes, or it doesn't mean you can make people work. For example, in New York State, you can't make a church person work 40 hours or let's say 80 hours a week. You're violating labor laws. There's things you can't do. Just because you're a church doesn't mean you're not under the law. You're under the law. You try having a church service without a certificate of occupancy. Try having a church service. Like I said, we have 12 people, and 2 weeks ago, somebody came into the church to take out all the old fire extinguishers and to put the new ones in, and he said to me, Reverend, here's the certificate. This one is good for 2 years. That other one's good for 2 years. And the certificate, they had the new, because guess what? If New York State walks in and those things are not up to date, you can't have church service.
That's right.
There's things you better have in order. And so Creflo's running a great danger in that he should be, well, who's he going to thank? Can't thank the Lord because he doesn't work for the Lord.
Right.
But
he would have never done that if the Lord was in it.
Right. He's very fortunate that no one said, you know what? This guy's going to pay.
They
for
may
what he
yet
did to
do
me.
That. You never know.
Yeah, absolutely. This guy sounds mad. He's just a son, and he sounds mad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All righty.
Well, the next audio is from Georgie Porgy Bloomer here with his reaction to Treflo's repentance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see what they're saying here.
I need to say something in real time today to you with regarding the 4th of July, 3rd of July, Sunday message that was put online by World Changers, Dr. Creflo Dollar, a respected, God-fearing, great, great man of God who had a conviction, an epiphany, a revelation about tithing. And so I want to I want everybody to share it with somebody. Bishop George Bloomer is going to say something to this, and then you guys can discuss this after I go off the off the air. We're not going to stop sowing seed. We're not going to stop sowing seed. We're not going to stop paying tithe. Be it Old Testament, New Testament, or Third Testament, Why? Because this is something that has been proven in my life personally. In my life personally. So I want to give you another minute or so you can share.
In other words, don't let the slaves on my plantation think that they ain't paying tithes.
That's right.
We're paying them.
He said, I don't care what Creflo is over there talking about.
Right.
you better bring me my money.
Let not the slaves on my plantation think there's going to be a slave revolt, because it ain't happening.
Exactly.
That's what he's saying. Okay.
With people, but send the word out. Bishop George Bloomer got something to say about this word that has gone forth. First of all, I love, respect, know, honor, will continue to love, respect, know, and honor Dr. Creflo Dollar. I don't think that he is a facetious, vindictive person. I don't think he's a heretic. I don't think that he's an unlearned, unscriptured individual. In fact, I believe that this man has been a blessing to all of us in the body of Christ. What I do have a problem with is the shock therapy. And so
in other words, he didn't have a meeting with the five families, you know, like in the mafia.
Right.
In other words, he didn't call a big meeting and had all the leaders of the five families join him in Manhattan to discuss what he was going to be doing. That's what this is. Right. That's what this is all about. So this is one wolf trying to still hold on to his livelihood. And but Creflo's way ahead of him. See, Creflo.
Right.
See, and Creflo knew that this was going to happen, but he wanted to get ahead of the curve. He wanted to be the one to come up with the revelation, because he wants people to say, oh, Creflo started this, and then they all followed. See, that's
right.
What Creflo wants. Whatever the results may be, that's what Creflo wanted. And
right.
He got it.
He gets the credit for this now, exactly.
Sure. Now, these guys are fit to be tied, because now they got to scramble.
Right.
Now they have to scramble. Now they have to come up with, you know, words in time, right? I mean, they have to address it now, because people are going to be asking questions.
Exactly.
So, there you have it. Here's more.
Is tithing biblical? The answer to that is yes. Does tithing work? The answer to that is absolutely yes. The discussion that we're having on tithing from Dr. Creflo Dollar with regarding the tithe is about fear and intimidation. And that is definitely true. But we're not having a discussion about the tithe. We're having a discussion about fear and intimidation and religion. And he opens up by saying that religion is based upon two factors, fear and intimidation. I agree with that 1,000%. But I'm not religious. And my relationship with God is not full of religiosity. I believe that re means over, religion means bondage. It means returning back to bondage. So getting people free is extremely important to me.
Wow, did you hear that definition of religion? Re is to return, and religion is back is bondage. So it's a return to bondage. Wow.
Like ligature? Is that where he's getting that from?
Wow.
Ligature?
Wow.
But
I mean,
Carlton Pearson does that a lot, And you know that George and Carlton are tight now, so maybe he got that technique from him.
Yeah, but even, see, even when you listen to Carlton Pearson, he's a moron. Because when you look at the Oxford Dictionary, right, for example, and the Oxford Dictionary for one word can give you six or seven different definitions or applicable definitions depending on the case. What Carlton Pearson does is he reads all seven. No, stupid. What you have to do is there's one that applies.
Depending
you cannot
on
apply
the context.
All seven. Right. You cannot apply all seven. So he wants to sound intelligent by giving you the minutia, right? But in giving you the minutia, he never gives you the right definition.
Right.
And Carlton does that all the time.
Yes, he does.
He could be having a conversation and he brings up a word and he says, well, you know, it means this and it means that. No.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the dictionary and you can have 14 definitions on a word or variant shades of meaning.
Run has like 100 and something, more than 100 definitions for it, doesn't it?
Right, yeah. So if she starts spouting all 114, say, man, this guy's an erudite. No, he's a moron.
That's right.
And if you ever watch Paula White talk about Greek or Hebrew words, the moron does the same thing. She says the Hebrew word means this, and she'll quote all of them in the dictionary, but never decide which one it is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one that applies to the context. All 18 of them can't apply. They just can't. But she'll read them all. She'll read all of them. And when she's up there behind the pulpit, and I'm saying, what a moron. Pick one, moron. All of them do not apply. But that's someone who's unschooled. Someone who's unschooled will do that.
Right.
Or in Carlton Pearson's case, someone who wants to sound impressive will do that. But really, if you know anything, you know they sound stupid. They sound stupid. All right, here's more from George, who isn't saying anything. George isn't saying anything.
No.
Me, as it is to him. But he had an awakening. And in his message, he talked about how that his tithe was $120-something, 26 cents was off of it, and someone smashed his window. He said it was in the early days when he was just getting married to Taffy or what have you. Okay. You know, bricks going through windows, we'll have a discussion about that on another show, maybe Relationship Monday. Haven't said that. But they made him believe that the 26 cents that was not associated with the tithe is the reason for the brick going through the window. We know that that's not so. Fear and intimidation, the scriptures teach us that if you were seeding and tithing into that, it wouldn't bless you anyway. Okay? Blessed is the cheerful giver, the willful soul, the liberal soul shall be made fat. He that giveth to the poor lends it to the Lord. Given it shall be given unto you, good measures pressed down. He knows all those scriptures. I know all the scriptures. I'm not even having this conversation to challenge him. I'm having this conversation to ask for the body of Christ to come together, a Creflo, a Benny, several others, Ivy Hilliard, all the faith guys to come together.
No, again, you see, again, he's mad because the five families were not.
Right.
See?
Bonanno didn't come to the rest of them before he just went out and started doing stuff.
That's it. See, the mafia always operates unified.
Mm-hmm.
They all sit down and they agree.
What we're gonna do?
Right. Are we gonna be involved in crystal meth? Are we going to be involved in prostitution? Are we going to all have a stake in Vegas? They all sit down, mm-hmm. and it's a backroom deal. And what this guy is saying is what I said in the beginning. He's mad because Creflo didn't sit down with everyone else.
Right.
And, you know,
if I'm Creflo, I don't go in a room with them guys alone after this, though.
No, absolutely. And Ivy Hilliard, Ivy Hilliard's a crook. Benny.
Yeah, we got a reaction from him, too, on here. He put out a video.
All right, let's see what this is about. Let's finish up with knuckleheaded George here.
In a form, in a room, and let's have a discussion on tithing, break it apart, and stop throwing these little points out that confuses the whole body of Christ and has this pastor having to come up against this and showing or making it look like there's a battle or a fight. I preach on spiritual warfare, and I preach on witchcraft and demons and devils and what have you. And this is how I feel about it. After 20-some-odd years of preaching and millions of books that I sold, if I wake up tomorrow and were to tell you that demons don't exist, there is absolutely no devil, I came to this revelation and that everything that you're going through is as a result of you being crazy and not taking your medication. So you need to take your medication so you no longer be crazy. And then I said to you, so everything I taught about it, everything I erased it from your mind and throw it away. If I came to that understanding, I wouldn't tell you to throw it away. In fact, I would owe you a refund for selling you false and defective information. That's what I say. You know, we do all this stuff. We get rich. We buy planes and buildings and different types of things. And we have a wake-up call. So, oops, I'm sorry. It was wrong. Out of the amount of poor people who, through faith, give their offerings and their tithes. And
see, what he just did right there, that was a hit.
Mm-hmm.
That was a mafia hit. And what's the hit? Refund.
Get the money
refund
back then. That's what he's saying.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. So now he says, wait a minute. You owe these people a refund.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they eliminate the guy who crossed the line and didn't consult the other members of the family. See?
Right.
So notice what he said, refund. In other words, to bankrupt him, to put him out of business. Because
right,
he failed to consult the other wolves who are running the same scam.
So now he's got to pay.
Now he's got to pay. And the way you make him pay is refund. Now, either you give the refund and that'll collapse you, or people will be encouraged now to they'll get attorneys
to
and
sue.
They'll come for refunds. Exactly.
And
see,
these guys might put the battery in someone's back to do that.
Exactly. Absolutely.
The offerings. So I'm asking for, before I jump on him and tell him, well, you're wrong and you're crazy and you don't know what, I'm asking online, is it possible for us to get a round table on this topic and this discussion so that God's people can be free? I will say this. If everything you faith preachers have been teaching about this tithe and this offering is false, then you do owe everyone who purchased your product, everyone who paid tithe, a refund. It's only fair. I'm waiting to hear your response on the round table. God bless.
He ain't meeting with your full self. He's not meeting.
No.
Please.
No. I wouldn't dare if I was Creflo.
Yep.
I wouldn't go in a room with them alone.
Right.
Yeah, wow. And the whole while George was talking, I couldn't help but think about the Godfather and how they
sure.
all got together. Remember after Sonny got killed and it was
right.
a big war and everything going
sure.
on, and eventually Vito and the rest of the families got together to broker a truce and
mm-hmm.
And all and to discuss how they were going to do this drug thing and stuff.
Right.
And that's
right.
what I was thinking about, especially when you were talking about the mafia family.
Sure. Because this is a mafia. This
mm-hmm.
is a mafia.
They operate
this,
just like them.
Yeah, that's what this is. This is a mafia. And there are certain subjects that are sacred to them, and you can't touch them because that's what they peddle.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of these guys, each one of these churches is a casino. People go in and put $10 on this. You know, when Bishop Jordan says, tonight I hear the Lord saying, give $193, what do you think people are doing? They're putting money on that number. It's a casino.
You're right.
Right? They're all playing the numbers. They're all giving an offering so that they can hit. This is so when, again, oh boy, again, look at what Bloomer said, a refund. And,
give
and
them back their
gonna,
money.
Yeah, listen, people aren't going to ask Creflo for a refund on the books and the tapes. They're going larger than that. They want a refund on the tithes.
Mm-hmm. 30 years you've been lying, I want that money back.
Right.
Especially
right.
if they can prove how much they gave over the years.
Sure. Sure. There's a thing called bank statements. And
mm-hmm.
the fact that he made it part of the membership that you have to give your W-2 form so that they could calculate your tithes. And that you
right.
would have to give them your bank number so that they can go in and grab it.
Yep.
Right? There you go. It's easy to prove. Very easy to prove. Now you say, I'm sorry, I was teaching this wrong. I want my money back. And if you sue him, he's going to have to settle. Because...
Yeah. He can't afford to drag it out.
Right.
Or let it go
and
to
if every,
a jury.
And if, right. And if everybody, listen, if everybody got an attorney and if everybody sued him, he couldn't afford an army of attorneys to fight each case. You know how many hours that is? That's crazy. So, yeah, Bloomer threw the first shot.
Threw down the gauntlet.
There you go. All right, here's Rob Parsley, right? Rob Parsley's
yes.
next. Okay,
yes.
Here's Rip Van Winkle.
A very serious question has recently been raised by a national minister regarding the legitimacy of tithing 10% as a biblical concept for New Testament believers. It is my belief that this whole thing has emerged from a very unhealthy view of dispensationalism as well as a very dangerous slide toward non-biblical hyper-grace teaching. Without going into great detail about specific points of disagreement.
Well, you have to go into great detail if you're bringing out great words. I mean, you just can't
yes.
throw out terms like hyper-grace and dispensationalism and expect the morons that watch you to understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's got to explain those things before he can
sure.
even get into what Creflo is saying.
Exactly.
Let me outline a few principles in answer to three main challenges which could be raised concerning biblical tithing. Number one would be that tithing was required under the law of Moses. Therefore, New Testament believers are not required to obey the law of Moses. Therefore, they're not required to tithe. Let me say this. there is a significant difference between a concept being incorporated into the Law of Moses and a concept being introduced in the Law of Moses. The concept of biblical tithing existed long before the advent of the Mosaic Law. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, who Abraham recognized as a representative of God Almighty. There was no Mosaic Law during the time of the patriarchs. So where did Abraham learn this concept? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us specifically, but we do know that it was not because of the Law of Moses, as the Law of Moses had not been written yet. So why did Abraham give the tithe or 10%? Why not 8%? Why not 12%? Did he just randomly select a number out of thin air? Well, it's my contention that he received the revelation of tithing from the Almighty himself.
Yeah, but then right there you would have to ask, here's the question. If Abraham is receiving revelation from God on this matter,
mm-hmm.
or as he says, okay, all right, I can show you where Abraham received the revelation on circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
I can point you to Genesis 17, where God directly says to Abraham, this is the sign, on the eighth day, every male child shall be what? Circumcised. We have direct revelation from God to Abraham on circumcision. But he can't show me, Rod Parsley can't show me a scripture where there is direct revelation where God says to Abraham, tithe. There
right.
is none.
Wasn't Abram honoring a custom to give a tenth of the spoils of war?
Yes. Now, of course, the tithe was a universal concept. It's
mm-hmm.
all the sons of Noah, whether Shem, Ham, or Japheth, they all tithe. Every single one of those sons of Noah and their descendants tithe. We know that historically. We can quote different historians that will tell you where the three branches of the sons of Noah gave tithes. But Rod just said, and here's the nuance, he said that Abraham got that as a revelation from God. Well,
right.
Where's the scripture? There is none. If you were to say to me, God told Abraham about circumcision, I said, you're right. But there's no record of God telling Abraham about tithing. See? So I know it's a nuance, but he just
mm-hmm.
wants to make it sound like God told Abraham. And we don't have any record of that conversation. We just
no.
don't. Right? So that's his first error.
Secondly, Jacob made a commitment to tithe all of his increase when he had nothing but the clothes on.
Yeah, but again, that was voluntary.
Right.
You see, that was what? Voluntary. He volunteered to do that.
Once again, there's no scripture that says God required it of him, but Jacob was in a little bit of trouble too, so he made that promise to God at that time, right?
Right, and when you read that entire chapter, the conversation that God has with Jacob, God never says to Jacob that if you give me 10%, I'll bless you. What God said to Jacob was, I am going to bless you.
Right.
He never said, you give and then you'll get. God never said to Jacob, if you give, you will get. If we read it correctly, God says to him, you are the next in line to receive the Abrahamic promises, and as a result, I will bless you. and be with you wheresoever you go, so that I will bring you back again to your father's house. After the dream was over, Jacob got up, and perhaps a little bit emotional, he said, I'm going to give you 10%. But God never required it. Never. Mm-hmm. Never. So it was voluntary, which is what he fails to point out. You see, again, a direct revelation in a dream. God, isn't it funny that in a direct revelation between God to Jacob, God never mentions tithing? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, well, yes, it's very interesting. It's a requirement or a revelation that they got from God, but they can't point you to any scripture.
Can't point you to any scripture. Now, that they do it out of gratitude, okay, it's on them.
Yes.
But it was voluntary. And by the way, again, notice how they twist the scriptures and they bring up all of these different people, right? And when you read Genesis, when you read Genesis 35, because in Genesis 28, Jacob makes that promise to God, I'm going to give you 10% of everything that you give me. Well, 20 years had passed from Genesis 28 to Genesis 35. 20 years had passed, and Jacob had not been to Bethel. And when God says to him, starting at verse 1 of Genesis 35, he says, go to Bethel, and notice God never brings up the tithes again. God says, go to Bethel because you have not worshipped and your family has not worshipped me, not a mention of money. It was the worship of sanctification. It was the worship of giving up the false gods. Never
right,
does God
yeah.
bring up the fact that you owe me tithes, that you made me a promise that I want you to pay up. Never. It never comes up. Jacob in Genesis 35 is backslidden, and his entire household is backslidden. They are not serving the Lord when God says, come to church. So it's about relationship, not about giving. But he doesn't bring that up either. See?
Right.
All right.
On his back and a staff in his hand. This was also, again, long before the Mosaic law. So where did Jacob learn about it? Well, once again, the Bible doesn't specifically say, but it is not difficult to imagine that Jacob was taught this concept from his father Isaac, who had learned it from his father Abraham.
Yeah, but then again, how many things in the church do we learn that are wrong?
Right.
Do
we know that that's where he got it from?
Right.
I mean, like you were saying, does the scripture say that Isaac ever did this or taught it to Jacob?
There's no record that Isaac ever gave a tithe or even promised to give a tithe.
Right.
So he says, Jacob learned it from his father Isaac. And Isaac, wait a minute. There's no record that Isaac ever gave a tithe or promised to give one. What are you talking about?
He's being presumptuous.
Exactly.
To maintain that tithing is no longer necessary simply because it was a part of the law of Moses is akin to saying that it is no longer necessary to honor your parents because that also was included in the law of Moses. We should not disrespect our parents now that we're living under grace and not the law, should we? Nor should we forsake the tithe now that we are living under grace and not the law. For those who object to biblical tithing by saying that honoring parents is one of the Ten Commandments, I say those are all part of the law of Moses as well. I'm sure the proponents of abandoning tithing would not dare to advocate abandoning the Ten Commandments. I hope they wouldn't. These days, it's hard to know. Secondly, tithing, especially as mentioned in Malachi 3, say they, is used as a means to produce fear, produce guilt in God's people because of the language in the passage which says, those who do not tithe will be cursed. Now, New Testament believers live under a blessing, say they, not a curse, regardless of whether they tithe or not. Hold on. In response, obedience does now and has always and will forever bring blessing. Disobedience does now, has always, will forever bring the opposite of blessing, which is a curse. Believers are not required to obey the law of Moses, but that does not indicate that they are at liberty to abandon all standards of conduct. In a just world, there are, or there should be, consequences to disobedience. This is dangerous ground to ignore. There are three consequences of disobedience. Poverty.
You see, disobedient to who? Disobedient to
them,
who?
The pastors that are teaching this.
Right, because I'm not being disobedient to Christ. Because Christ never demands it.
No.
We're going to have to, let's come back next week and let's start off with Rod Parsley. And
okay.
Let's go through, George Bloomer is just too stupid to go into, but let's go back to Parsley and let's go with Open Bible and let's look at every one of those passages that he talked about.
Okay.
And let's just show how ridiculous his arguments are, because again, who am I being disobedient? He jumps from, we're disobedient. Well, disobedient to whom? It's not in the New Testament. Right?
Right.
Now, there's a, down in New York City, there's a famous Baptist church. It's called Calvary Baptist Church. Calvary, and it's right across the street from Carnegie Hall. Famous Baptist church. Calvary Baptist Church. When I was a little boy, I was in my teens, there was a famed pastor there named Stephen Alford. He's long retired now, Stephen Alford. Every Sunday night, my grandmother would put on the radio. We were Pentecostals, but she would put on the radio, and we would hear the great Stephen Alford preaching. He was a great Baptist preacher down in New York City. When I came out of Bible college, I was able to pick up one of his books on tithing. He wrote a book on tithing. And the book on tithing, now he's a great preacher, but the book on tithing is worthless. Because he tells me that I'm obligated to tithe, but he never comes from a New Testament scripture. It's not one any of the commands of Jesus. And so
right.
Stephen Alford's arguments are lame because they carry no weight from Christ, nor does Paul or Peter or James or John ever mention tithing, ever. In fact, at the Jerusalem Council, when they talked about, you know, how should the Gentiles act, should the Gentiles act like the Jews, and they say, let them not commit fornication, let them not eat things strangled. Never does tithing come up in the Jerusalem Council.
Right.
Right? So all of this is lame. Lame-o. These are lame arguments. We'll pick it up next week. We're out of time. Great show. Great show.
Thank you.
You have the last word, Sister AJ.
Well, just thank you for listening, and we will see you next time, Lord willing. Have a great rest of your day and week. Bye-bye.